Daily Show, and my guest today, I'm really excited to welcome from ABC's Nightline, Juju Chang. Juju, thanks for stopping by, and we're going to talk about ABC's 2020, two very big brands, and I have some time with you today. How are you, Juju, and thanks for stopping by.
Oh, you're welcome, Neil. I'm thrilled to be with you. It's a big story tonight on Ruby Frankie, the momfluencer.
Yeah, so let's kind of go right into this situation. Yeah, let's go right into the situation and talk about Ruby and how the story came, the virality and all that stuff for people that might not know.
Absolutely. So Ruby Frankie, the title of tonight's investigation is Momfluencer to Felon. So you get to see where it ends up. But she started out as this like really popular momfluencer, right? Dispensing all sorts of tough love parenting advice. And for years, she was very popular on YouTube, and she had millions of followers. But over time, like, people started flagging her tough love and saying, you know, maybe it's too harsh. Maybe she's crossing a line here and there. And eventually, she sort of got a lot of, you know, sort of pushback and stuff. The eight-passenger vlog was taken down. She partners up with this woman named Jody Hildebrand, who has a life coaching business. And they take her two youngest kids to the southern part of Utah, and it's only after her own child is found on the street. He rings a doorbell and is caught on camera looking emaciated and covered with wounds where this investigation kicks off and ultimately leads to all sorts of child abuse charges.
And it's crazy because I think that when you look in Ruby's, probably like any mom, they're looking to try to figure out ways of getting, you know, more popularity, and then they get caught up in this stuff and then don't think about what they're putting their kids through, and they're thinking more of themselves than the children and any type of fame type of thing or virality. You've seen this all the time, Juju, haven't you?
Right. I mean, her children were the featured stars of her vlog, right? And they were the picture-perfect kid, and they were, you know, making Christmas cookies and doing all sorts of fun stuff. But eventually, she focused in more and more on punishment. And, you know, obviously, it turned physical. And what we're seeing tonight on 2020 is all of the evidence that prosecutors were able to gather about her. And the most damning stuff is her own diary. Because she talks about this catalog of abuse, like kind of like taking notes day by day, things like shoving her son's head underwater or kicking him with a boot, poking him with cactuses, making him sweat outside in the blistering sun until he got literally blisters, and ultimately denying food for days on end, saying things like, oh, he's possessed, he's evil, he's got Satan inside him. And she admits later at sentencing that she had gone down a really dark path. And you can almost think that like her mindset was completely shifted.
And do you feel that it, before even the fame, that she probably had that mindset in certain aspects and just kind of just went down that path? And I guess if she wasn't virality, she probably never would have been probably convicted of child abuse. That's the real sad part about it.
It's a really good question, actually, Neil, because her partner, Jody Hildebrand, is the one who had a history of this kind of eccentric, let's say, if not abusive behavior. I actually ended up talking to her niece, who said she had done this to her like a decade earlier. And Jody was the kind of person who would invoke the name of God, invoke the name of the Holy Spirit or the devil, and use it to justify all sorts of different things. And some of her friends were saying that, or former clients, I should say, were saying that she glommed on to Ruby in part because of her fame, as you say, the virality and the power of that. And so together they team up. They start doing all these life coaching videos together. The line blurs between personal and professional stuff. And then eventually these children end up in Jody's home, you know, for months on end, enduring all of this abuse, which they eventually pled guilty to.
You know, and that's it's something, but I'm really kind of, I feel that we are not protecting our kids enough, Juju. And it's great that this story is great that came out, but ultimately there's so many kids that are going through this each and every day and have no way to protect themselves. And I think that's part of these specials as well.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's important to tick through all this evidence. And I spoke to the prosecutor, I spoke to the police officers in the case, and the prosecutor told me, like, there are so many heroes along the way, starting with the 911 caller who literally breaks down in tears just by looking at the kid because he's clearly starved and has wounds all over his body, right? Then you see the police officer who I introduced, and he's like, we go busting into another home because we're like, there might be another child in there, he's telling us. So he goes in and he's in full like adrenaline cop mode. He sees the second child and instantly drops to his knees and talks very gently with this child, knowing that this child has been the subject of abuse as well. And I said to him, you went into daddy mode. And he's like, yeah. And he went from cop mode to daddy mode and took hours to coax her out of this closet. And the way he finally did it was to get a pizza because she was so hungry. And these children had been, you know, were in the hospital for 10 days afterwards because they had been so malnourished and so abused. And so you can see, and then this prosecutor himself, who shows us, you know, the interrogation videos, the body camera videos that the police officers are wearing. And part of it is he's releasing this evidence, even though he got the plea deal, because he said, I didn't want to subject these kids to a trial, to have them re-traumatized in a trial. I did, however, want the world to see all of what you're saying, that what is happening behind bars is stuff that behind closed doors is stuff that we all need to call out. And we need to be those heroes, right? We need to be that 911 caller. We need to be the police officer with empathy and care, and see and open our eyes to the things that are happening around us.
No, and so I'm going to jump into that really quickly because everyone needs to definitely check out ABC 2020 tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. The thing I'm going to jump into, Juju, and the point you're making that really is that we look at physical abuse versus mental abuse in this country as totally different things. And I want to speak out about this right now with you and get your feedback. Why is it, you know, when mental abuse can even be worse than physical abuse, can lead to PTSD, which can lead to a life of being on medications, therapy. Why don't we look further to prosecute parents that are mentally abusing children?
It's such a good question. And it should be highlighted in this for sure, because what the prosecutors told us is that, look, that what we all know intuitively, right, the physical wounds will heal. What we don't know is how and when the emotional scars, right, get healed. And I think these children were definitely subjected to, like, emotional torture, right? They were told they were possessed by Satan. They were told they were evil. They were accused of doing things that they hadn't done. They were convinced they were going to jail. In fact, when the little boy escaped the house and he has deep gashes in his wrists and ankles because they hogtied him and handcuffed him at night. I mean, it's just, it's your stomach turns hearing some of this evidence. But when he escaped, they had convinced him that he would go to jail because he was such a bad kid. And eventually he finally decided, you know what, if this is what it takes, I'll happily go to jail because I can't endure this torture anymore. And it's really stunning. And you're right, emotional torture leaves as deep a wound as physical ones, for sure.
But we don't. And then we also, some of our child abuse lines in different states, it varies in every state, Juju, and we need to really speak about this. You, in certain states, you can get away with a lot more than other states when you abuse children. It's really true based on what they look at and how they define it. Like, you compare Pennsylvania to New York, it's totally two different things. Corporal punishment's still allowed in Pennsylvania. I mean, we really have to look at things and take a deeper question about child abuse and how we can make this a national law versus state by state. I really believe this.
It's a good question. And it's the kind of question that you ponder after you watch this program tonight, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, investigating this stuff, much different than being an anchor, right? Do you like going out in the field and talking to people like this and doing this type of investigation?
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, I went to the most beautiful part of the country, actually, in southern Utah, and just saw a lot, met a bunch of really heroic, lovely people, but then also had to dig into the sheer awfulness of this evidence, right? And I much prefer being out in the field, as you say, telling stories and being able to be exposed to so much as opposed to sitting in a studio where, you know, you've got a lot of lights and cameras on you, but it's really pretty sterile at the end of the day.
And it's based on news, right? Old news is done, right? Each night, boom, whatever's hot, it's over. This conversation can continue for longer periods of time because hopefully other people will start calling out parents that are doing things like this. This is the goal of highlighting things like this is, guess what? You see it happen, you need to report it.
Right. I mean, we go further than the headlines. We have a really 2-hour, incredibly robust story tonight. It's an investigation, but it's also a story. And at the end of the day, it highlights the power of storytelling, right? To be able to get people to think about things that, you know, you don't think about every day.
Well, it's been really nice. Are you doing a lot more of these ABC 2020s? Is this, are you going to be doing more of them? I know you're so busy every night being on Nightline, but are you?
Absolutely. I mean, Nightline also has a new show called Impact by Nightline, which streams on Hulu, and 2020 does too. 2020, once it airs tonight on ABC, will then stream on Hulu the next day. So that's like the brave new world for us, right, Neil? But it's all about streaming. So for me, what I love about the streaming opportunities for Impact by Nightline and for this kind of 2020 story is to be able to do the long form and to be able to go beyond the headlines and go deeper into the issues and talk about the things that are bigger and broader than just the 30-second headline.
So you're going to be doing more of these types of stories then. That sounds great if you're going to be doing that. Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, everyone needs to check you out. I guess everyone needs to tune in to ABC's 2020 tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then every night for you, what time is it, 11:30 Eastern?
Jimmy Kimmel Show is the way we like to say.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate it. Thanks again for stopping by. And thanks for the time. I really enjoyed talking with you.
My pleasure, Neil. Thanks for having me.
All right, Juju, take care. You're listening and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we were live, guys, and we're going to be doing more of these live events early morning, talking to celebrities. Take care, guys.